Either thought alone should have been enough to kill his appetite, but his stomach once more made its impudent noise. Some parts of a man were conscienceless, a fact he supposed he had known since childhood. He helped himself to a popkin, dumped a heaping spoonful of sugar into his tea, then added honey for good measure. He would make this as brief as possible and return to Irene as soon as he could, but in the meantime.
"May it do you fine, sir,"
Moses Carver said, and blew across his coffee cup.
"Over the teeth, over the gums, look out, guts, here it comes. Heh!"
"Dad and I have a house on Montauk Point," said Marion, pouring cream into her own coffee. "And we were out there this past weekend. At around 5:15 on Saturday afternoon, I got a call from one of the security people here. The Hammarskjöld Plaza Association employs them, but the Tet Corporation pays them a bonus, so we may know certain things of interest, let's say, as soon as they occur. We've been watching that plaque in the lobby with extraordinary interest as the 19th of June approached, Roland. Would it surprise you to know that until roughly 4:45 on that day it read, 'Given by the Tet Corporation, in honor of the Beam family and in memory of Gilead?'" Roland considered this, sipped his tea. It was hot and strong and good. Then shook his head. "No." She leaned forward, eyes gleaming.
"And why do you say so?"
"Because until Saturday afternoon, between 4 and 5 o'clock, nothing was sure. Even with the breakers stopped, nothing was sure until Stephen King was safe." He glanced around at them. "Do you know about the breakers?"
Marion nodded. "Not the details, but we know the beam they were working to destroy is safe from them now, and that it wasn't so badly damaged it can't regenerate."
She hesitated, then said, "And we know of your loss, both of your losses."